This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Dave, I can't tell you how excited I am to have Ryan Harris coming up here now and joining us. A guy who was drafted by the Denver Broncos, played in Super Bowl 50. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning retired after that game. But he's a local kid, grew up right here in Minneapolis, went to St. Paul, he went to Creighton, went to Notre Dame, and then had a great career in football. So, Ryan, my curiosity is this. You played for Philly, and you played for Kansas City. So when you look at these two teams, is there one that stands out more than the other right now? And I was just talking about that offensive line at Philly. I don't think I've ever seen an offensive line as big and as good as those guys are. But you might have a different one. What do you think?
Well, Pete, first of all, great to be with you, brother. Always an honor to be on WCCO. You're right that the Eagles' offensive line is the biggest and baddest that I have ever seen. Their left tackle, Jordan Mailata, pulls like he's a guard. I mean, he's 330 pounds coming down the line. You can't pay anybody enough to stop that. And then you go, I mean, I think they average 315 across the board. But what I do know from playing with the Kansas City Chiefs is they have the best offensive line coach in the NFL, and Andy Heck, a Notre Dame graduate, and he teaches technique that beats every defense. And more than anything, he keeps the offensive line moving together. He's very much like a Mike Munchak, who was at the time one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL when he played. And at the end of the day, in big games like this, it's technique over talent. And remember now, the last time these two teams faced off in the Super Bowl, the Eagles have set the record for sacks in the season and didn't get one in the game.
Mm. Ryan, thanks for joining us and good to chat with you. I'm curious if we always talk about experience when it comes to playoffs and games. Certainly the Super Bowl, that matters. Both of these teams are very experienced. But what is the value of that when you're playing in a game where there's so much pomp and circumstance, there's so much else around it, to understand and who have been through it before, how does that factor into the equation?
It's a great question, and it factors in because the experience you have teaches you what not to pay attention to, right? For example, like, you know, they're singing the national anthem in Super Bowl 50, and there's Lady Gaga in a red sequins dress. Can she see me? I don't know. I am distracted, right? Like, this is not why I'm here. You know, and at our game, Beyonce performed at the halftime, and I'm telling you guys, we're looking for her from pregame warm-ups all the way to halftime. She's going to marry me. She's going to leave Jay-Z, right? Like, those are the things that do not matter. And what matters is playing as absolutely hard as you can, because I'll tell you, of the five biggest hits I took in my 10-year NFL career, three of them came in the Super Bowl, one of them from a linebacker at a broken arm. So the physicality, the intensity, the speed, it's something I'm so grateful I got to experience and fortunate enough to win in that environment and know that there are things that don't matter. And this is everybody, right? There are relevant and irrelevant things that matter to your success. Now, you take care of the things that are relevant and you leave the ones that aren't, but that's where your experience comes into play.
Ryan, you obviously got to know Peyton Manning while he was there with Denver, so I'm curious, what was he like? What was he like in the huddle? What are the takeaways from Peyton Manning? I've gotten a chance to meet him a couple of times, and his intelligence is unbelievable. His humor is phenomenal. We all see that now all the time. But what was he like on the football field for you?
He was the best leader I ever played for in the NFL. And one example, every morning workout, he'd be sitting in his car, backed in, right in front of the door of the weight room facility, and he'd make sure that he was in there by 7 o'clock, which also meant that all the rest of us at that morning lift were in there at 6:58, right? So, I mean, he worked so hard. And, Pete, you know this from playing. He would practice fumbled snaps in between the bench press reps. You know, you get the group of three, one's benching, one's spotting, one's resting. Well, he didn't rest. he would practice fumbled snaps while he was waiting to spot somebody at the bench press. He would get out to practice 10 minutes early. Him and I would try and fight each other out to be the first ones out because there's always work to do. And then lastly, he gave people an opportunity to be involved in the play calling experience. We had a call that was right or left for a run, and he said, you know, Ryan, what do we do for East Coast, West Coast? I said, well, you know, there are these two rappers, Tupac and Biggie, and this is how old he was. He was like, you think people will know what that means? I'm like, yes, Peyton, we know who Tupac and Biggie are. Biggie's the East Coast, Tupac's the West Coast. It's going to be fine. And then we ran it in the game. So, you know, he did it through his example, he did it through work, and he did it through including others, and that's what best leaders do.
Ryan Harris, Super Bowl champion, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Ryan, I want to ask you about that because I don't know that most people can ever experience what it's like to stand at the top and finish ahead of everybody else, as you will. The confetti's coming down. You're holding that trophy. This is something, it was something you obviously worked your entire life to get to. Can you describe to those of us who have not and will not ever experience that, what that moment is like, what that feeling is like to be standing as a Super Bowl champion?
You're trying to get me to cry on a Sunday, huh? Okay. Well, no, you know, for me, it was something really, really, really incredible. I mean, the only other big win I had, you know, we lost two BCS games at Notre Dame and all, and I hadn't been to the Super Bowl in my career yet. But my ninth season after four back surgeries and a total toe replacement, man, I was doing all the work. And the thing that it feels like is that everything you believe about yourself comes true for other people in that second, right? All of a sudden, I was a hard worker. It was bona fide. But, you know, you couldn't, it's undisputed. All of a sudden, I knew how to win. All of a sudden, I knew how to be a great teammate. Well, no, that's actually all the things that I had to build to get there, including after getting released from the Broncos 3 years before I returned to win the Super Bowl. So I had to grow as a person. I had to grow as a professional. I had to choose to do the hard work, ask questions. And then I got to have my mother and father on the field. And my youngest brother, Sam Harris, got to hold the trophy. He touched it first. My dad touched it. He started crying. My mom was just like, I don't know what to do with this thing. And I finally got a seat at the table with Ray Hitchcock, my offensive line coach at Creighton-Durham Hall, because he really put me on the path early to be a champion. And it was just this moment where everything that you did was worth it, and everyone who lied to you about your success and your options for success were wrong.
The amazing thing also that kind of gets forgotten by a lot of people, Ryan, I think, is how good your defense was in Denver. Unbelievable. DeMarcus Ware was unreal. Von Miller was the MVP. He had two fumbles, 2.5 sacks. It really was an incredible team offensively and defensively, and we don't see that very often where both sides of the ball are as good as they are. But your defense and what Von Miller's been able to do in his career has been incredible.
Well, guys, I'll give you an example. We were, with the first 2 weeks of training camp, I'm not joking, we did not score as an offense. We didn't score in the team periods. And then the third week, Gary Kubiak gave a couple of starters on the defense a break, Chris Harris Jr., Aqib Talib, DeMarcus and Vaughn. We scored 20 touchdowns that day. You know, it was just like, oh, it's not us, it's them. You know, so, but the big thing, too, is that defense made us better. Whether it was Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib telling what they're seeing on the opposite side. I was going against James Harrison at the Steelers, and DeMarcus Ware on a Wednesday practice came up to me and said, Ryan, he's going to throw that rip move. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been watching. He goes, when he does that, pinch your elbow to your hip. Sure enough, first third down comes. Here comes James Harrison with the rip. I pinched my elbow to my ribs. He goes, oh, God. He was done for the rest of the game. He had to try and out-physical me in the run. So not only was I honored and privileged to be going against and practicing against the best defense, I think, in NFL history, they did more than just be great. They made sure that we understood on offense the things that they saw as well, and us conversely against them, and that's what made that team so incredibly special.
You mentioned looking at some film, and I often wonder about paralysis by analysis in sports. You have this extra week now to watch more film, to study more. How do you do that without being, you know, getting paralysis by analysis? Because you could study film, I would imagine, every minute of every hour until the game time. But too much is probably too much. So how do you balance that between the time that, you know, your last game is and the Super Bowl starts?
Well, you have, first and foremost, hopefully both teams kind of went through the week before, and that's really where you got to put the game plan in, because that there's so much craziness that happens the week of, and now you're in a different place with the same meeting schedule, but it's completely different. And you know, I was down in New Orleans, and about 30 police officers came down the street, and here comes the bus for the Chiefs. They're staying downtown right there in the French Quarter. And I don't know about you guys, but that's a dangerous place to be, right? That's hard to focus down in the French Quarter for a week. So the big thing is practicing the red zone twice while on site, just so that your players understand the most key points of the game, right, and what's going to happen. But after that, it's about making sure that you're ready before you get on the plane to win the game on Sunday. And we'll find out here in a matter of hours which team really did and which team really didn't work in this last 2 weeks.
Just going off a little bit, how about the Denver Broncos themselves after drafting Bo Nix? And a lot of people really didn't embrace that very quickly until they started to. And then once they did, the turn that you guys have made locally there where you are in Denver has been incredible. Is there anything that has surprised you more so than anything else right now as far as how quickly they've been able to make this transition?
Well, just that they got to the playoffs in 1 year with a $40 million dead cap hit, right? I mean, you are being seriously hamstrung in talent. That could be two receivers. That could be a receiver and two defensive ends. I mean, that's a lot of money now. And I was not surprised because I got to call the game USC at Oregon and Bo Nix's senior year there at Oregon, and he had all the tools. And I'll tell you what, he threw the longest ball against the Bengals in that overtime game. He threw the longest ball of the season. 72 yards the ball went in the air. I mean, that kind of talent with 61 starts in college. And guys, you'll like this. His first interception in his first game, they said, can you walk us through that first interception? He goes, yeah, step back, threw it to the wrong team. And that's it, right? Like, he understands that failure is an element of success. And if he thought that he was never going to throw a pick in the NFL as a rookie, you know, he wouldn't have been successful. But he understood that it was going to take time and that he was going to take the lessons that went along the way. He did it in a fantastic fashion. They really didn't have a run game. They didn't really have a tight end. So it's really remarkable they were able to do that this season and go to the playoffs and get that experience, because you need it to understand, you know, what it takes to win. And it's not a matter of talent. It's a matter of willpower and physicality. And they just didn't have it against the Bills. But they did have the opportunity to go and taste the porridge.
Ryan Harris, appreciate the conversation this morning, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Ryan.
Blessed to be with you guys. An honor, Pete. Peace.
Appreciate it. Ryan Harris, their Super Bowl champion. Amazing. We had two Super Bowl champions on our show this morning. This has been it's been a great show so far. We'll turn our sights to the current Super Bowl. What prop bets are out there? And is winner's fatigue hitting Vegas? We'll talk about that next with Kate Constable. It's all about the money in the NFL. What happens when there's winner's fatigue? Is it such a thing? Kate Constable is the host and analyst of the Better Angle, BetMGM, Game Day. She's all over the place. Good morning, Kate. Joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. Ready to bet some Super Bowl props today.
So I'm hearing that, first of all, that there's some fatigue and casinos are panicking a little bit. There hasn't been as much gambling on this Super Bowl as there has in years past, at least in the week leading up to it. Is that true, and where are we at today?
I don't know how true that is, Dave. I think there's been quite a bit of gambling. The American Gambling Association is predicting 1.39 billion bet on today's Super Bowl, and last year it was 1.2. So we are actually up a little bit. There is cheap fatigue. People don't like to see greatness, right? It's right in front of us. We have an opportunity to witness history, and everyone's all up in arms. So maybe that has something to do with the total volume of bets being down, but the money crossing over and changing hands is certainly quite a bit once again this year.
Kate, what are some of your very favorite prop bets so far that you're seeing? I mean, it's always fun to look at the crazy side of it, right? I mean, we all understand overs and unders and this and that, but what are some of the crazy ones that really have grabbed you?
Yeah, the Gatorade color is always a really fun one that people like, especially if you're going to a Super Bowl party and just kind of want some of the action. Mm-hmm. I have bet clear or water as my guess for that, because it truly is a guess. Because we all know that, like, every team is going to have a bucket of water on their sidelines. So maybe in the whole scrum of the excitement after the game, they grab the wrong bucket and that gets poured. If you think the Eagles are going to win, the consensus is that you should go with the green, lime, lemon. That flavor or color is kind of all wrapped up in one. And if you think the Chiefs are going to win, you should go with purple, because the Chiefs have had purple the last two seasons. Athletes are creatures of habit. They'll probably keep it the same. But I'm going with a little flyer, some more value on the water, the clear color for my Gatorade bath today.
Is there an over-under on how many times Taylor Swift will be shown today on television? There has to be.
Dave, there are so many Taylor Swift. I haven't even looked into them because talk about fatigue. I love Taylor Swift. She's amazing, yes. Right? But a little bit of Taylor Swift fatigue. So I don't have that number in front of me. I know there's a bet that Travis Kelce could propose after. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that they'll do that on their own time versus on the field after the game. So I would advise anyone to not bet on a proposal.
If that happens, my 13-year-old daughter, who is only rooting for the Chiefs because of Taylor Swift's boyfriend, will probably melt down right there at our party.
Kate, as far as some of the other meaningful type bets outside of the crazy ones, but like a Patrick Mahomes, there's all sorts of different things that people can pick, right? As far as completions and this and that, is there something that you kind of lean towards and say, you know what, this is kind of interesting. I think this one they're maybe wrong on, and it might be an opportunity.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, well, just starting with him, I like his rushing attempts over. That's at 5.5. He's been using his legs quite a bit in the postseason, has been scrambling a ton. His scramble rate in the regular season, about 5%. It's up to 19% in the postseason. So he's just taking a little bit more of those opportunities if he gets flushed outside the pocket. Plus, you have kneel downs. Those count as rushing attempts. So if we're late in the game, the Chiefs are up, they kneel it. So Patrick Mahomes over 5.5 rushing attempts. And then on the Eagles side, I really like Dallas Goedert to have a big game today. His receiving yards prop is set around 49.5. And I would take the over on that. He's been commanding a ton of the target share and snap share on the Eagles offense. And it's just been really phenomenal these past couple postseason games, even going back to previous postseasons. This is his time to shine. And I think where the Chiefs defense, if it's vulnerable at all, is across the middle. And that's where Goddard will show up big today.
Kate Constable, host of the Better Angle and BetMGM Game Day, joining us. Also, my former intern. I'm always so happy to announce that because you've done so well, and I'm just so happy to see you.
Those were great times, Dave.
We did have some great times. I think I know the answer to this, Kate, but who's the favorite for the MVP at this point?
It's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs win, it's going to be more likely than not Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's the quarterback award, as we've seen, even with the MVP. Josh Allen winning that the other day, that was great for him. But it'll be more than likely Patrick Mahomes. If you want a long shot for MVP, maybe you go Travis Kelce, but his only path to winning that would be a couple touchdowns and Mahomes having just an average game on his terms. So Kelce kind of commanding the majority of that offense. But I think Mahomes, if the Chiefs win, Mahomes will run away with it for sure.
Is there a possibility that Jalen Hurts, I just see the opportunities that are in front of him because of Saquon Barkley and because of the fact that he's got those great receivers and stuff. Is that even worth the time to consider him as the MVP, or is it going to either be Saquon or Mahomes as far as the leaders?
No, if you're jumping in on the MVP market right now, I would take Jalen Hurts over Saquon Barkley. I mean, Jalen Hurts played the best game of his entire career 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. He had three rushing touchdowns, a passing touchdown. He had three rushing touchdowns in the NFC Championship game against the Commanders. Like, he's been phenomenal lately, and there will be so much attention on Saquon Barkley. But the Chiefs' run defense has been great to close out the season. They've held, opposing running backs under their season averages. So if Saquon just has a normal Saquon day, say 100 yards, nothing too crazy, which, I mean, that's already pretty good. And Jalen Hurts throws for two passing touchdowns, 200-some yards. I think there's a very good possibility that Hurts wins MVP. Plus, you're getting more value and a better price at Jalen Hurts right now over Saquon Barkley.
Kate, who do you think wins tonight and why? And who does Vegas think is going to win tonight and why?
Vegas thinks, based on the line, that the Chiefs are going to win tonight. I agree with them. I just think that if you look back at the last two Super Bowls, that Eagles team 2 years ago was great. And they were, I mean, they had that game in hand late until the fourth quarter. And then Patrick Mahomes shows up, right? Last year against the 49ers, that was a complete team. Both sides of the ball, they are just stacked. The 49ers had them. And then what happens? Patrick Mahomes shows up late in the game. I think the Eagles are the more complete team once again this season with so much talent, but they don't have Patrick Mahomes, and that's always the difference maker in these close games. So I'm not going to bet against the GOAT of these days right now, and I'll take the Chiefs to win and three-peat today.
Hey, real quick, Kate, if I don't – sorry, Dave, I just wanted to ask one last question.
Ahead.
And the last question is this. If it were a defensive player – who would it be? Which team? Who would be the defensive player that you think could be the MVP?
I would say Jalen Carter for the Eagles and Chris Jones for the Chiefs. I think those are two players that they have great odds, great value, and could certainly do a whole lot of damage on the defensive side.
Kate, you've given us a couple good lines here to help us win some money today as well. If people want to catch you, where can they do so?
Yeah, the BetMGM Network, Saturdays on the Better Angle, which is on that network, from 3 to 6 Central. And then I guess we just wrapped up our Sunday show, BetMGM Game Day, our final show today. So, but across the BetMGM Network weekdays, I'm on various shows and stuff, so you can find me there. And then on Twitter, at Kate Constable.
Thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure. Congratulations on all your success. And I look forward, hope we can do it again next year.
Thanks, Kate.
Let's do it. An annual deal.
Thanks, Kate. Appreciate you so much. Kate Constable joining us there. You're going to win some money today if you took all of that. So hopefully you did, and you can put down a couple bets if you are the betting type. Coming up next, three real headlines from sports today. One that you're probably not going to believe. That's coming up next. Ooh, look at that. Time for your headlines.
Headlines.
All right, so I found a couple headlines this week from the world of sports, and I would like you both, and we can all three jump in on this, to give us our opinions. Headline number one from BuzzFeed. People are stunned after Kylie Kelce said she would not have told Jason Kelce if she went into labor on a game day when she was pregnant with their first child. If you were a pro football player or a pro athlete, Pete, you were, the rest of us were not. Would you want that? Or would you miss the birth of your child for the Super Bowl? Or for, let's just say, a big football game. Because it wasn't a Super Bowl.
I got to tell you, I'd love to be there. No, I didn't do that, but I'd love to be there. I really would love to be there. But, how do you miss the Super Bowl?
What about if it's just a regular season game?
That's different. Then it's absolutely I'm going to do it. But otherwise, I mean, it's just sounds terrible. My wife will probably hit me when I get home, but
See, there's controversy here. Right. I'm sorry to set you up like that. There's controversy.
It's all good. It's all good.
I think, I'm not a professional athlete, not even close, but you can't miss the birth of your first child.
That's true.
Even for a football game.
Yeah.
That's just me.
How about the Super Bowl?
I get it.
You said a football game.
If it's a
game.
Super Bowl, that's maybe different. Maybe then you have something done so you can have the baby a couple days ahead of time. But I don't know. For me, for my money, I'm not missing the birth of my first child.
Josh ain't talking. He's not saying a word. Look at him over there.
Well, now first of all, Pete asked the million-dollar question. He said, how do you miss the Super Bowl? Well, you just play for the Vikings. That's how you miss the Super Bowl.
Deflection.
That was good.
Yes. And if it was Baker Mayfield, I would definitely skip it. But anybody else, I don't care. You know me.
Okay.
I love annoying Dave with this because he hates.
Would you miss a football game for the birth of your child?
Your
first child.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah. A football game,
Super
no.
Bowl's different.
Super Bowl.
A
different.
Football game, no. I'd like to see someone skip preseason for the birth of their child. That's a real dedication.
Well, they all skip preseason anyway.
Yeah, they don't show up.
That's true. That's true.
Okay.
Yeah. I would.
Good. From the Rink Live.
Oh, boy.
The Minnetonka Skippers girls hockey team, number one seeded Minnetonka, beat New Prague this week 22-0 in girls hockey. 22-0. Minnetonka had 100 shots on goal. 100. So Shout out to the New Prague goalie who stopped 80-something of that, by the way. At some point here, don't you call off the dog? Like, don't you tell your team at some point, hey, let's – and maybe they couldn't. And I understand that there's range here, right? I mean, you can tell your team – and I'm a hockey coach. You can tell them not to score. Like, okay, guys, let's try to get everybody some points here. But eventually, the third and fourth line players who don't get to touch the puck that often, certainly don't get an opportunity at some goals, are going to keep going. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you tell your team to stop, right? Maybe they couldn't, but you tell them to stop.
I think you have to, don't you? I mean, 100
It's a section quarterfinal game, but still.
I can speak to this one pretty near and dear to my heart because I went to Central High School here in Minneapolis, and I can tell you 22-0 would be an average score for a Central team. But hockey was not our best sport, and I'm looking over at Josh. He's giving me a look like, what? But I think we won 3 games in 3 years, and my guys will probably start texting me and let me know that I'm off. But I think that was about our record. So I understand where they're coming from. I really do, and it's tough sometimes. But you know what? I never have liked holding off the dogs. Let people play, right? Let them play the game.
3 games in 3 years.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Did you play with less than the amount of players you need to play hockey?
Well, we had guys who'd never been on skates until they got to high school playing on the team, I can tell you that.
That would have been the only way I made a high school team, by the way, is going up against people who'd never been on skates. Josh, would you have called off?
Yeah, that's the exact way I was going to put it, is you got to call off the dogs in that case.
Yeah, you got to.
That's ridiculous. That's embarrassing. I wouldn't even want to show up to practice the next day because I just got embarrassed 22-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have to show up because it was just the playoffs.
That's true.
So
that's true.
But still.
Just like the Vikings, they have to show up. Yep.
There you are. That's right.
Jeez, he's really
bad. Okay, last one here for you. From the Associated Press, how they voted, Joe Burrow comeback player of the year. Joe Burrow comeback player of the year. Your thoughts on him being comeback player of the year?
It's interesting that he's in that category in the first place, right? I don't really know how. Yeah, I'm with you on that. It seems a little bit out of place, but he really had an amazing year is where I'd go with that. Forget about the comeback. Forget about all the rest of it. He had an amazing year. He had a great year. And had they had a defense, they probably would have been a team that could have been pretty interesting, I think, as a playoff team and all. But their defense was as bad as the offense was good, so they didn't have that opportunity.
Where was the comeback?
Yeah.
He put 10 games the year before.
Comeback.
They were one game above 500 this year. And somehow he outvotes and beats Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. Yeah.
How is Sam, say what you will about Sam Darnold, how is he not the comeback player of the year? He's the comeback player of the decade.
It's not even close. You're right. A decade.
it's really amazing to me. My favorite, though, so I'm reading this article, and they list, which I love this, they list the voters. Like, you have to, so Pat Kerwin, he's tops on the list, voted for Burrow first place, Sam Darnold second place, Nick Chubb third place, Aaron Rodgers fourth place. And, I mean, they're not even trying anymore by the time you get to fourth place, right? Because someone named Tom Silverstein and Mike Sando had TJ Hockenson in fifth place. Did I miss something? He didn't have a great second half of the season once he came back. I'm missing it. And I get it. There's votes for DeMar Hamlin. You certainly could make an argument.
Which
for
I don't understand that one. I get the heart attack thing, but that's, you know, that was two years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he saw significant playing time this year. I don't think he played much.
Oh, okay. Well, it's
the year before. That's
I feel like there should Aaron be a window Rogers? Where you need to kind of meet that. But yeah,
how is Aaron Rodgers the comeback player of the year?
Well, he had the Achilles.
Inspirational.
You know, right? He was very – I'm looking at Josh. He's so BSing you right now on that game.
I know he is. He's just – yeah. Kirk Cousins got a fifth vote from my guy Mike Tirico. I love you, Mike. But Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, what?
Kirk Cousins was the reason Atlanta didn't make it into the playoffs.
He got benched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even trying. They're just doing favors by the time you get to the third, you know, the third and fourth. But Sam Darnold is like third on a lot of people's list. Oh. He's even, I mean, here's one. Joe Burrow, DeMar Hamlin, Sam Darnold. Joe Burrow, DeMar Hamlin, Sam Darnold.
Isn't this an injury related thing? This was talked about numerous times.
But is it injury?
Month.
It's just comeback.
I mean, his injury was not being competent in New York or San Francisco.
So or that anywhere that he played.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm against
or,
this.
Or Carolina.
I don't understand.
Maybe they should call it turnaround player of the year.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Even still, I mean, Joe Burrow, correct me if I'm wrong, they did not make the postseason.
That's correct.
Correct?
That's correct.
Cincy, yeah. They
Cincy didn't.
They didn't have a defense, that's why.
They were one game above 500. I don't see it. I don't understand. This is not a comeback.
No.
It's a return to where he was. You want to talk about a comeback. Sam Darnold made a comeback. Sam Darnold was the Undertaker sitting up out of the coffin, mm-hmm. for Pete's sake.
Yeah, for
I mean,
Pete's
come
sake.
On.
Yes.
For Pete's sake.
Yep.
Dave, I got to tell you something. I don't know what this guy's got going on over there.
He's just needling today. Someone said to him, you should needle Dave more often. We got a text in, and I have to say this. This will make you laugh. A text into the WCCO Talk and Text Line. Our first headline about Jason Kelce's wife saying she wouldn't have let him know when she was going to go into labor. Someone texted in, the wife can use the sideline blue tent.
Pretty good. I got to tell you, I think my wife would have said the exact same thing, though. She would have said, are you kidding me? You got to go out there and play. What are you doing? She really would.
Well, I get it sometimes, especially when, you know, you're making Jason Kelce's making these salaries. I once had a conversation with my wife, and this was a while back when I was still working, and I was Matt Cullen when he played for the Wild, and we were having a conversation about what it's like to raise young kids and how exhausted you are, because he and I both had kids close to the same age. And he said, well, my wife is really wonderful. She'll let me sleep in the basement during the season so I can get a good night's sleep, because, you know, it's advantageous to both of us if I play well, right? Which I get that. Mm-hmm. So I came home and I said to my wife, you know, hey, Matt Cullen gets to sleep in the basement during the season so he can be rested. How come I have to do this? She said, well, you don't make millions of dollars like Matt Cullen does, so shut up. You're getting up in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's great.
She wasn't wrong. Is this the worst Super Bowl matchup for the NFL? We'll talk about it next. Oh, yeah, let this play out. Great jam. It's a banger.
T-Swift, baby.
Oh, you're gonna get. Okay. Into the WCCO talk and text line. Sam can't be comeback player of the year because he was never here to begin with. He was 3-4 tier. Maybe most improved, he never played at a high level before. Think it through for sake. He didn't say Pete. As defined, the NFL Comeback Player of the Year is presented annually by the Associated Press. The criteria for the award is imprecise. It's typically given to a player who overcomes the worst adversity, return to play, even a single snap of NFL football, such as not playing the previous season, injury, or for playing well in comparison to the previous year's poor performance. There you go. He had years of poor performance. So it is a comeback.
It's definitely a comeback.
It's a comeback.
His career was terrible till this year.
Yeah. It's not a never was before award. It's comeback player of the year award. Anyway. There is some fatigue. We talked a little about this with Kate Constable earlier from BetMGM. By the way, if you missed any of our guests today, holy cow, you need to download the podcast or listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Ray Hitchcock, Super Bowl champion, outstanding. Ryan Harris, Super Bowl champion, outstanding, both Minnesota kids. And Kate Constable, also a Minnesotan, outstanding, talking about gambling at the Super Bowl. But I think we've talked a lot about, you know, this game, and I think all of us agree, and all of us were hoping for a different matchup. I would assume Roger Goodell probably wanted a different matchup because the fatigue is real, right? Josh, you sent around a text to us this week that some of the numbers, the amount of money during the week that was being moved around in Vegas was significantly down. Kate says it's caught back up. But I do think, like, I don't know that a lot of people want – we live in a different time. It was different when – I'll say this. When the Buffalo Bills went to four straight Super Bowls, you watched it because you hoped that maybe this was the time they finally got out of their bad luck and finally beat the Cowboys, which never happened. But it's different now. And we live in a different time where everybody – wants the top dog to be knocked off. I think that's safe. Everyone loves a good comeback story. Everyone loves a good storyline. And I just don't think a rematch Super Bowl and a chance for the Chiefs to get their third straight is something that excites a lot of people like other games' storylines would have. And I think we're seeing it.
Yeah. Fatigue for sure. I think when you look at it and you look at teams like Buffalo, Baltimore, I think Washington, Detroit. Can you imagine had we gotten something in that world of a Detroit and Buffalo? That would have been a phenomenal.
A Detroit Washington would have been
great. Yeah, absolutely.
That can't happen. Sorry,
but it can't happen. Yeah, but it's those types of things where you've got teams that hadn't been there before. They still aren't there, but they're right there knocking on the door. And I think that's the part that makes it fun is that there is that sort of a thing, Dave. Especially because of the fact that I think the salary cap helps that to happen. Now, if you build the team the right way, and I think Kansas City is a great example of that, you've still got the quarterback, arguably the best quarterback in football, arguably, I say, but you've also got a lot of pieces to the puzzle. They get receivers. They really do a great job of drafting and how they piece together their team. How about the defensive line and the fact that they get after quarterbacks the way they do? The Chiefs with Spagnuolo on the defensive side, and then, of course, the head coach being on the offensive side, that is a really well-oiled machine that they've got at Kansas City, and I don't know that this is going to be the end of it, at least getting to the Super Bowl. They might win or lose this one, but either way, they're still going to be one of the favorites next year.
Yeah, anytime you have Patrick Mahomes, you're going to be a favorite, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's game-changing. Mm-hmm. Then you put that with the fact that he's got the best tight end in the game, probably, in Travis Kelce. They've got a running game. He elevates the play of players around him better. All those things can also be said about the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
Because of their star. There is fatigue. I have fatigue. I will watch the game. Obviously, I'll watch the game. We're going to a Super Bowl party to watch the game. It's become more of a holiday. Do you take Monday off of work after the Super Bowl?
Never. No.
I don't.
Can't do it.
A lot of people do.
They do. Yeah,
there was a big push last year to take Monday after the Super Bowl off.
Turn it into a holiday. You know, Dave, and the other thing is this, when you do really break down Kansas City, they got a defensive line that's unbelievably good, right? Along with, I think, Philadelphia, you could say the same thing. But, you know, Philadelphia did an amazing job of what they've done in the draft as well. And I think that's, you know, it separates the really great from the average. I mean, look at the defensive line at Philadelphia, the way they went to Georgia players. They've got Jalen Carter. They got Jordan Davis. They got Nolan Smith. They've got all these players that are all from Georgia that are unbelievably great athletes. And I like the way they have built that franchise, just like the way Detroit's built theirs. Obviously, Kansas City, it's been built, but it does still basically key on the quarterback because he's been so damn good.
All right, we got less than a minute, gentlemen. Who wins tonight?
Josh, why don't you just start her off?
I think the Chiefs get the three-peat. The only way I see the Chiefs not winning is Saquon. I think he's the wild card in this mix because they can't stop the rush, and he is really good against rushing defenses. So that's going to be a hard one to stop, but I think Kansas City gets it done.
I'm going to say Philly. Philly beats them by 14, and the reason that they beat them that bad is that offensive line, defensive line are that good.
Chiefs win by a Harrison Butker field goal. There you go. Enjoy the Super Bowl party, everybody, and have a wonderful time. We will see you next week.